You are about to listen to a previously broadcasted interview with artists Takashi Iwasaki and Benjamin Perron from May 23rd, 2024, here on CKW 95.9 FM.
Hi there, folks. This is CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm one of your co-hosts, Zoe LeBrun of Eat Your Arts and Vegetables, your arts talk radio show. And with me today is...
Derek Breckner. How's it going, Zoe?
It's going good. We are sharing mics today, at least Derek and I are, because we have two guests in the studio today. Yeah, you want to introduce our guests?
Sure, Zoe. So we've got two guests today, both people that have been on the show before separately. We have artists here today, Takashi Iwasaki and Benjamin Perron. Both are here to talk about their exhibition currently up at the School of Art Gallery at the University of Manitoba campus in the Art Lab building. They're part of the MFA exhibition that's currently up. So I'm going to get both of you maybe to move closer to your mics, but hello, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Great to have you both here, and wanted to thank you both for coming down. I know it's been a while since I interviewed Takashi. I feel like the last time was when we had your daughter on.
Like seven years ago?
7 years ago, and she was playing with the paper on the microphone. I thought it was great. It was like the beginning of a sound artist that's going to happen, you know. It's like, and then Benjamin, we interviewed him recently on Zoom for his exhibition that he had at Maison des Artistes. So we've got 25 minutes. There's a lot of things to talk about. Once again, Zoe has a little bit of an insider track on this exhibition since she helped install it. It seems to be happening quite a bit with a lot of our guests that Zoe somehow is connected to one way or another with people that we're interviewing.
Well, I didn't actually see a lot of the work go up. A lot of it hadn't been installed by the time my contract was done there. I did a lot of wall painting, not a lot of artwork installation. So it's cool to see everything up now.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the installation when the opening was Friday last week. And the exhibition is up till June 21st. And the gallery hours are Monday to Friday, correct?
Yes. Yeah. 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah. So, you know, if you get there at 4:30, you can park for free. So, you know, or if you want to come a little bit before, you know, pay for half an hour parking and stick around for an hour, you know. I'm not sure where to start, but maybe you both can maybe just give like a summary of what you've done for the show. And I'd like to, you know, talk about past work too, but okay. This is...
You went ahead, Takashi.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Takashi.
Yeah, I used lots of ceramics, which has been my new medium since I started the program at the U of M 2 years ago. And I started using wood, plywood, to help set up my situation with the ceramic pieces. And I like to bring happiness and joy to myself and also to the viewers. It's really colorful.
And Benjamin, what about you?
Yeah, well, I'm continuing in the works I started at La Maison des Artistes, so working with photo processes, basically photosensitive paper, that, and I use the sunlight, the weather, air, temperature to have it change color. So the show is partly with photograms of plants that are, that made the paper change color in the long exposure in daytime. And there's a huge projection on the wall, like in a separate room, where we actually see a paper changing color during 1 hour and 25 minutes of the sun moving throughout my studio. So it's a pretty minimal exhibition that's meant to slow down and think of our place in the world.
Great. I was really impressed with the video. I thought, yeah, it kind of had this minimalist aesthetic, but... I don't know, you're walking in there and you're looking at this piece of paper, but then you have to kind of like, it kind of demands your time and patience before something happens. Because, you know, it was, I'm not sure exactly what the right terminology is here, but I'll say time-lapse video. So you know, we gradually start to see the paper change. I'm wondering if you could maybe talk about, I'm assuming you're using natural light or studio light or a combination of both, and how long was the video?
Yeah, so yeah, I started to just filming paper that was changing color outside, or I was kind of interested in these material quality of the paper itself, and I was working in my studio. It was winter, and it's we all work in our studios in winter in Winnipeg. So I'm in the Tachéal on the campus of University of Manitoba, and the sun goes in my window, and it actually reproduced the window on the floor, like we all encounter in our daily life. So I ended up just putting the paper that changes color, so the photographic paper, on top of an inkjet print of the sky in Winnipeg, which is a kind of blue gradient to white, and just filming that from the top. And the sun takes 3 hours to go from one side to the other in my studio. So this kind of window of sunlight goes over, takes 1.5 hours to go over my little print. So basically the video, it starts, it's in the shadow, so it's in the dark, and then you see it quietly and slowly, you see the light coming on top of it, then it's almost as a still image. You almost feel it's a still image because it's changing so slowly, but at the same time you feel some little variations, so you're kind of tricked because you're like, is it my mind that's imagining those variations, or it's actually changing? And it ends up going back in the shadows because the light of that window goes all over the print, and it's the shadow that follows. So it's a loop video. So, and it's kind of funny because I've imagined it as a kind of a contemplative work where you need to stop and be quiet, I guess. And at some point during the opening, I got in the room and it was full of people just there hanging out, talking. And it was such a great experience to see that people were actually having fun, almost like if they were in a park in front of that projection. So it's cool to have that type of experience, I guess.
Amazing. I personally really love durational work, so I think that video is really interesting. And I think both of your practices are really great examples of how process is so important to some artistic practices. Could you both talk a little bit about how process is part of your work?
Okay, my process is, because it's a new medium for me, I feel like I'm still learning and I'm just getting hang of, I can manipulate this material. So every time I have this plaster mold and I put the liquid clay and I extract this thing and build those parts. And every time I make, this is better than the last one. Every time. So I feel like it's still really the process based. But I think my strike zone is kind of wide compared to some people. And some failure, some people might say, there's a crack there. This glaze, because it's clay, you have to fire it and you have to see what color it gets. It was purple. The sample was purple. I got kind of purplish. I'm okay with it. So I think I'm just loose in a way that I enjoy the moment of making. And as soon as I finish making, it's kind of my past thing already until I put it back in this show and make this installation. So that's kind of the process I go through.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting that, you know, you've done a lot of different art in Winnipeg, and you know, some of us know that you've done work as far away as Taiwan, and so you've done a variety of different work, and so the ceramics is quite a new venture for you. And it's interesting to hear you talk about the process, because there's some unpredictability there in terms of what's going to happen with the work, which is interesting. In some ways, I think you're both working with that in some ways. How do you sort of work with the things you can't control, and which is interesting to me. And I guess there is other things that in some ways, you're both kind of working in modular ways in some ways too, I think, which is also related. But I keep thinking about your installation, Takashi, in terms of that you've got these sort of big collapsible items, but then you've got these small things on top of the big collapsible items, and then it's sort of like an installation. Yeah, I don't think I've seen you work that way before. Have you worked that way before? Maybe I'm wrong. Plus, there's a really nice linear element of a water noodle in there too, which I have a big bias for that because I always have water noodles with my performers. I stick lights on them and have the performers work with them. But so I got a soft spot for water noodles too. But I'm wondering if you can maybe talk about like that installation and sort of is it something that's characteristically you, or I feel like there's something different about it.
The water noodle, it's like a pool noodle you can buy from a dollar store. Yeah. I like things that like why and what why is this here? It's like out of place, but it's somehow put in it.
No, I thought it fit perfectly.
Oh, okay.
But I was thinking more like back to my, I asked like a lot of questions there, but I was wondering about the way you installed the work.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been making paintings and one-off things so I express my visions and ideas in one finished painting. That's the world. But at the end of the day, I think of it as, oh, what if it's in someone's house? I see it as more like a decorative element of the architectural environment. Mm. And I think that idea came more and more as I was working in this program. And ceramic being, you know, very ordinary material, you use it every day almost like as a mug or as a bowl. And I was more conscious about putting my work in this living environment or someone's home. And it became sort of like, oh, what if I could furnish this space with my furniture, which became kind of the plinth or the table or platform that I put those ceramic pieces. So it was more about the, at the end, about the mass as a whole than each piece speaking to myself or to the audience. That was why, I think.
But I still felt it was sort of like in between, like an installation and an object in some ways. It was sort of like this kind of combination of like flow from the floor to the wall, and it's all very connected. I thought it was interesting.
My idea, my dream is like to buy a small bungalow, and outside looks just ordinary bungalow. And inside is like full of everything I make, even to the minute details of the legs of table to doorknob. That's sort of like my idea comes from the space Gaudi, Antoni Gaudi. I've been to Barcelona and went to a few of his buildings and parks, and it's like that's, I think, my fantasy world that I want to recreate with my own hands. Yeah.
If you don't mind me saying, I've been inside your house and I feel like you're kind of on your way with it, I think. It's like, I feel like there are things that you're doing with the walls and the door frames, and so I feel like it's already starting to happen.
Yeah, that's what I want to push, I think, a little further.
Benjamin, with you, you know, I'm assuming you've been at Takashi's house before, so you would kind of agree with that comment about the comparison with Gaudi in some ways.
Yeah, it's really specific of his interior having all of this little touches that you know is from him, clearly his aesthetic, and so I can easily imagine the house he's dreaming of and how it would be.
No, I can envision it with his type of aesthetics very easily. That would be quite amazing.
Thanks.
So this is a little off topic for my next question, but both of you are deeply engaged with your art practice. And somehow you're pulling off being parents at the same time, both of you. I'm wondering if you could talk about that a little bit, like being an artist and being a parent, and both in your MFA at the same time.
I guess
just like a lot of it's kind of like amazing
by taxing on our partners.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh,
yeah.
So you both should give a shout out to your partners then. Is that what you're saying?
Totally,
Do you want to mention their names and thank
Merci,
them?
Marie.
Thank you so much, Shihan.
Yeah, and double shout out because I'm from Montreal and the family's in Montreal and I'm in Winnipeg here. So it was quite an adventure, but yeah, I guess you find the time to, like, obviously there's some things you can't do because you have so many hours in a day, but like you just manage to have some priorities, and the kids they understand, and it's also at least from my standpoint of view, it's also important to show them that you want to do something you like. And like, I've been working as a civil servant for a decade, and like, it wasn't like I was there for my kids, but it wasn't so cool for them because I was upset all the time or I didn't like my job. So I think that showing them that you can actually do something you like and being engaged with it, but also being available for them is also a good way to show them that it's actually possible. And yeah, we managed to, sometimes we don't know how we managed to do all that at the same time, but yes, yeah, we do. Like, you don't have kids, yeah, but you have radio, you have all your shows, whatever. So it's we all have our things.
Yeah, I mean, just to add too, I mean, it's like, and you know, we can't say that, you know, I mean, your partner is like a professor in architecture too, mm-hmm, right? So it's you know, it's not like she has a lot of free time. So it's pretty amazing how you've all managed to balance that. And I know Takashi, your partner's also doing a master's in business, correct?
Yes, right now, yeah.
Yeah. So it's really kind of amazing how you all have managed to balance everything. It's quite extraordinary.
I guess my kids just don't know yet. Like, maybe when they're teenagers. What? That was what my dad did.
I think I've seen both of you bring your kids to openings. I mean, I see Takashi's kids at openings a lot. And like I said, last time we did an interview with Takashi, he brought his daughter for the interview.
Yeah. I like it to be kind of the ordinary thing for them. Because I didn't have that kind of upbringing.
Yeah.
And it could be fun. It could be boring at, you know, it depends on how, what kind of attitude you bring to openings or things like that. But it's not something extraordinary for them. That's what I wanted.
Yeah. Thanks. I wasn't sure if that question was going to be appropriate for you, but I'm glad I asked that question. I think that was great. I feel like I'm taking up a lot of the question time. Swing something over to Zoe, see what she has something to say.
Oh, sure. Part of why I like to be here is because you ask great questions and I get to hear the responses too. Sometimes I just feel like, you know, I'm getting to like watch an interview, but it's in real life, you know. But then I remember that I'm part of it, so yeah.
I always feel like I'm here to watch you do the questions because I like your questions better than mine. So,
yeah. So I guess I'm curious about how your experience in the MFA program at the U of M has been overall, and what the highlights of it have been for you.
For my part, like, I came here from a total different environment and I didn't knew anybody. Like, I was really by myself here. So I guess relationship was something that was really important. And apparently it's always the case when you do an MFA, it's something that's a really part of it. And that was really something, not only like with Takashi, Agata and Melanie, my cohort, but also with people I've met around the city, other artists, friends I've made throughout elective classes. And so that for me was, I think it's the first highlight of my MFA here, because I wanted to have a new conversation, and I got it in every aspect of my life. In the school for the art practice, well, obviously, like, it's the availability of all the profs that are really easily accessible. And I think that it just helped me to having all those conversations, just helped me to think about my practice, about me as an artist, and just put that together and have like a more intellectualized, I guess. I don't know if that's the good word, but I think I just have a better understanding of all my work and how I'm doing it and why I'm doing it, and just kind of refine my statement, I guess, if I can say that way. So yeah, it was just amazing being here in Winnipeg, having this opportunity and having this show is like attaining that goal, I guess, the end of the adventure at the same time. So it's a bit sad at the same time.
Yeah, very bittersweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What about you, Takashi?
Yeah, I got to spend a lot of time with the Benjamin for the 2 years. It's been great, and now he will go back to Montreal, but like, you know, this relationship we built as friends and all the other people I met through the program. But I want to say one thing about the program itself, because as an artist, if you are on the street or if you're in the gallery, people don't come to say like, oh, hey, Takashi, look at this artist, this could help you. Mm-hmm. Or like, have this reference. Oh, did you look at this precedence in history? Or like, they don't say like, oh, your work has like this weak point. They don't come like that, because appears to be rude. But yeah. In school, being critical and in a nice way, you know, that's given already. So among students or especially professors and faculty members, they come, oh, what about this? And there's also some assignments that you have to think around it. It's pretty healthy to think in a critical way that you normally wouldn't think.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that, and Oliver Bolter, the chair of the faculty, he says, yeah, Takashi, that's what you're paying for. So that's right. It's good. It's pretty healthy.
Awesome.
In that way, yeah.
So you would recommend doing an MFA to most artists?
Yeah.
Great.
I had been away from school, so most of the faculty members changed. So I think for someone who has been through a program, I would recommend them to go somewhere else. So it's different environment, as we talked about, like a connection with people, mm-hmm. or different communities. If you don't want to be in the same community for too long, it's not bad, but I think there's always better places to extend your antennas and roots.
Sure.
Yeah. I recommend
sure.
those still, yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with Takeshi also about the part of the kind of critical aspect of the MFA, because as artists, we work a lot by ourselves, so we don't have that opportunity to have people in our studio and looking at our work and telling us what they think about it. So it's just a good opportunity to have us think on our work in that sense also, like the other students, but also the prof and studio visits that are organized in the studio. So that was really great.
Amazing. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, Takeshi has kind of anticipated my next question, which was going to be, in some ways you've kind of answered it already, but I was going to say, like, what advice would you give to like first-year art students? And I feel like Takeshi's already done that in some ways, but I'm wondering what Benjamin's response would be.
First year in the...
Yeah, just undergrad or, yeah, just even like, well, you know, people are, some young person that's like contemplating going to art school.
I think the first advice I give would be work hard. Like, just keep on doing stuff. Don't think about, like, don't think too much. Just work and test some stuff, and a lot of bad things will come out, but some good things will come out. And if you just think about your work or your, and you don't produce, nothing will come out. So it's just work hard and be open to the critics of others, because it's not negative. It's just you're the boss at the end. So that's what I would give as advice. Like, work hard and be open and do what you like. Be embodied with your work.
Be embodied with your work. Ooh, I like that. That's...
Yeah, I think we are often projecting our desire to, you know, in the process too. And that sometimes limits how you can grow too. So like you said, open-minded. So sometimes, especially in the first year of undergraduate, some things teachers say sound like stupid idea, because you're in this like fixed, you know, limited idea of this is what I should do and what I want to do. And after some years, like, oh yeah, they sounded kind of weird, but it makes sense now. So I think being open-minded and don't decide your goal already before you start, I think that's kind of the attitude you want to have as an artist. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I appreciate the comments. Yeah, I think, you know, we're very biased here. We're all very pro-art school, I think. But I think it's quite a privilege, I think, in some ways. I mean, to have that kind of dialogue as a teacher or as a student or both. And I think it's kind of an extraordinary experience, I think. And I going back to Benjamin's comment about showing your kids that you can do something in life and be happy doing it. Because I think there are a lot of people in this world that are going to jobs that they hate every day, and they're doing it just to make the money. And you know, of course, like, you know, being an artist is difficult financially, but I think in the long run, if you persevere, I think particularly now with the way the world's working, and there are just so many ways that you can do an art practice now that I think in some ways it's opened up more than maybe when I was in art school in the early 80s, you know, I mean, it seems a little bit more complex now. And I think there's a lot more options, I think. But yeah, it's interesting. So I guess we'll wrap things up. Zoe, did you have any last comments before we go?
I was just going to restate that the School of Art Gallery is open Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 p.m. And yeah, So if you missed all the names at the beginning, we've been talking to Benjamin Pinno and Takashi Iwasaki. Yes. And yeah, both of their MFA thesis shows are up at the School of Art Gallery, so go and check those out. Anyways, until next time, stay tuned for Tawny the Brave. This is CKUW 95.9 FM. Bye.
Hi.
Bye.
Well, all right. You have just listened to a previously broadcasted interview with artist Takashi Iwasaki and Benjamin Perron from May 23rd, 2024. Stay tuned for Tawny the Brave here on CKW 95.9 FM. Monkey. Heard about party now, just east of Harlem. Dougie gonna be there, but you got to call him. Even the soldiers need a break sometime. Listen to the groove, y'all. Let it unwind your mind. No intoxication, let's just see what I see. Dancing hot and sweaty, right in front of me.
Right in front of me.
Oh, call it what you like. I'ma call it hot beat. This is just another one of God's gifts, musicology. Got to keep the party moving, like I told you. Keep the old school joint for the true funk soldier. Musicology. Wait a minute, babe. Wish I had a dollar for every time you say. Don't you miss the feeling music gave you back in the day? Let's groove, September. Earth, wind, and fire. Hot pants by James. Slides don't make you higher. Minor keys and drums. Make a rubber skate up. Take your pick, turntable, or a band. But if it ain't Chuck D, Jam Master, they know what they losing. Cause we got a PhD in advance, body moving. Keep body moving, just like I told you. Kick the old school joint for the true funk soldiers. Musicology. Alright. Hold it down, band. Stereo. These are my records. Of what you need the most, and that's time. Watch it now.